Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you that you speak to us clearly because your spirit is in us to help us to understand. And so we pray, Lord, that we will be attentive to your words and that you will guide us in all ways for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And there's an outline in your newsletter. It's in the middle. We are jumping around the Bible a bit. We're not just looking at those passages. There's Bibles on the back table if you'd like one. And we'll have a question time at the end after I pray after this sermon. There will be a time for questions. So I encourage you during the sermon to write questions down. There's pens in the baskets just at your feet or at someone else's feet near you. Write them down, and if the question's not answered by the end, please ask it. There will be others that will be thinking it as well. So I encourage you to do that. And as I said, it's a big topic. We're not going to cover everything. The aim of a sermon like this is to really open up discussion for us as a community to talk about some other issues. So things like contraception is something I was going to cover, but we just didn't have time. So, that's a discussion for another day. Plenty of things to talk about. Here's a good quote. I want my kids to have the things in life that I never had when I was growing up. Things like beards. God, that's humorous. You may find it funny, but others don't. We do want things for our kids that we didn't have growing up, perhaps, but we don't all have kids. So we look at around us today, we look at the people who are around us. Some are married, some are single, some have kids, some don't. What does the Bible say to all of us? And we're going to start today where we did last week's start, and that is at the book of Genesis. And the reason I like to start at Genesis with these topics is because Genesis is a book of purpose and design. Genesis chapters 1 to 3 really share with us God's purpose and design for his whole world. It's a blueprint of what God has made and why he's made it. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God blessed them, that's the man and woman, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Here we have God giving mankind the capacity to reproduce, to procreate, to have children. And why does he give people the capacity to do that? I mean, it's nice, isn't it? God just didn't create a couple of people and said, I'll just keep creating people as I need them. He said, you procreate yourselves. He gave us that ability to fill, to be fruitful, to increase in number, to fill the earth and subdue it, to rule over creation under God, to be rulers on his earth. God gave us the capacity, that's his purpose, in why he allowed us to procreate. How are we to do that? Well, if we go to the next verse, Genesis 2:24, we heard this last week. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and they'll become one flesh. God's design is that a husband and a wife, a man and a woman, would come together to form a family unit. That is the primary family unit that God created. When two single people become one flesh, a man and a woman, for life, that is the family unit as God created. Out of that relationship may come children. Let me just say that again. Out of that relationship may come children. It may not, but it may. But the husband and wife are the ones that form the family unit. Now, today, there are many different types of family units. I think, I'm sure you could think of, it's not just mum and dad and a couple of kids, is it? There's a lot of different family units. There are single parents, there are orphan children, there are adopted children. We have donor eggs and donor sperm and surrogate mothers. God cares for us no matter what situation we're in. And in God's purpose and design, not everything's exactly easy and as we expect it always to be. Things happen in life that make unusual situations. That 1,000 years ago, who would have thought that there would be issues for Christians to think about with donor sperm and donor eggs and surrogate parents? You know, maybe there were. There are a lot of different family units. It's not always straightforward. God cares for us, though, in whatever situation we're in. And so the question today is, whatever situation we find ourselves in, whatever situation we were raised in, or whatever situation we are in a family unit, how do we stay faithful to God? That's really the question we should always be asking. We think about children. How do we stay faithful as children of God ourselves? How do we stay faithful to God? So I want to start, move on from God's purpose and design to the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, to talk about the role of parents and the role of the church. And then we're going to look at some particular issues of, as you'll see them in the outline there, of abortion and fertility and things like that. So let's have a look at the parents' roles now. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Paul finishes Ephesians by talking about the roles of people in families, servants and slaves, and masters and all those sorts of situations. He talks to fathers here, I believe, in the context, because they're recognised as the head of the family unit. But this really is a call for parents, fathers, to take the responsibility to make sure that this happens in their family. And we'll talk about that next week. So parents, two things we're called in this verse. One, do not exasperate your children. What does that mean? What does that mean, to not exasperate? Well, the word exasperate, I guess you could find different meanings for it. To aggravate your children, to irritate them, to stress them, to make fun of them. When we take our frustrations out on them, when we ignore them, when we break our promises with them, when we don't spend time with them. There's a short list of all the sorts of things parents can do to exasperate their children. Not spending time with them, that exasperates children. Taking our frustrations out on them, it exasperates children. We are called not to do that. Parents are called not to exasperate children. Instead, it says, instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That is, this is the responsibility of a child's parents, to bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. It's not something a parent would say, well, my church teaches them about God, or their godparents, or their relatives. No, it is the parents' responsibility to train their children in the Lord. Ultimately, it rests with the parent, not with anyone else. We can't offload that responsibility. So if that's the parents' responsibility, to train their children in the instruction of the Lord and to not exasperate them. Two things you can... You know, here's a challenge for you if you're a parent. Why don't you ask your children sometime this week, do I ever exasperate you? Now, it's easy for young children because they don't know what the word means. So don't tell them what it means and they won't be able to answer it. But you know, if you've got children who are older, if you've got grandchildren, why don't you ask your children, do I ever exasperate you? Ask them for an honest answer and be ready for the answer, because you may find that sometimes you do without realising it. And wouldn't it be a good thing if you could not do that? Explain to you, if your children are the right age, I'll leave it with you as a challenge. No matter how old your kids are, though, I think it's a good question. Ask your child, and your child might be 30, 40, 50 years old, do I ever exasperate you? Because we want to always be learning as parents, always be learning how to care for our kids. So what is the role of the church? Let's flick over to that now. I want to take you to Luke 18. This is a passage where Jesus is having, all these people are bringing children to Jesus to have him bless them and be around him. And the disciples stop the children coming to Jesus, and Jesus gets a little bit irritated. He says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Now, I've chosen this verse as a springboard to talk about the church's role, because Jesus is standing there with his disciples and followers around him. He's standing there with his church, and his church are stopping these children coming to him. You know, I think that really does exemplify, that verse, what the role of the church is for children. Is to not hinder them in coming to Jesus. It's not the church's responsibility to train everyone's children in the Lord. It's part of what we do. Our job is not to hinder. In other words, what's the opposite of hindering someone? It's enabling them, isn't it? If you don't hinder someone, you enable them. So our job as a church is not to hinder children in coming to Jesus, but to enable them to come to know him. Whose responsibility is it to teach children in the Lord? It's the parents. So then the church has a role in enabling the parents to fulfil their responsibilities. In other words, we want to be a church where parents say, this church is my family who enables me to raise my children knowing God. They help me do it. They enable me to do it better. This is to be a community, a place. You know, it takes a village to raise a child. You know that old African proverb? It takes all of us to help parents to raise their children in the Lord. It's part of our role as a church, not to hinder them. And let me just encourage you to think about the many diverse families we have in this church. People from all over the world. People from different socioeconomic backgrounds. People from different family structures. We've got single parents. We've got parents with many children. Parents with a few children. Parents with medical needs for children. We've got a whole array of different family structures and family struggles. If you think about our role as a church, when a family is trying to bring their children up in the Lord, our role as a church is to help them do that. And different families will have different needs. And so if you see a family that has a need where they might be struggling or finding it difficult to raise their children in the Lord for whatever situation they find themselves in, then your role as a member of the church is to help meet their needs in helping them raise their children. Not to take the responsibility for raising their children, but to make sure their children aren't hindered in any way by their church family. Different families have different needs. Let me encourage you, as a member of this church, to make sure we keep our eyes open for those who have needs in their family structures that may need a little more help sometimes. Help to raise, not to raise their children, but help enabling them to be parents. Let me move on. Let's turn to issues now. I've picked three out of many we could have talked about. I wrote a whole bit on contraception, but you know, it just seemed these three were sort of the ones I think we're dealing with more nowadays. Abortion, assisted reproduction, and infertility. They're the three we're going to talk about in 10 minutes. How's that? Let's talk about the first one. Abortion. Turn to Psalm 139 with me. Psalm 139, a lot of people have different views on abortion and on the birth of the creation of children. This is a psalm, have a look at these verses. This is a psalm David writes about his relationship with God, simply what it is. And part of his relationship with God is, David says, God, you knew me before I was born. You knew me before my parents knew me. You knew me in the womb. David had a relationship with God before he was born. Psalm 139 is one of many places in the Bible where it talks about the relationship that we share with God. And when you talk about things like abortion, there will be two main arguments you often hear. The rights of the mother, that is the pro-choice rights of the mother to choose what happens to her child, her unborn child. And then the rights of the child, that is the right to life, which talks about the rights of the child to be born and to exist as a being outside the womb. You'll often hear those arguments go back and forth, and Christians often take one side or the other. Incidentally, this is one issue Christians don't like to talk about with each other. When was the last time you had a non-heated discussion about abortion with someone who's a Christian? Anyone had one in the last year? Anyone? No? No one. Okay, interesting. It's even harder when it's family members who have a different opinion to you, isn't it? You just don't bring it up. What does the Bible say? Does the Bible talk about the rights of the mother? Does the Bible talk about the rights of the child? No. The Bible talks about the relationship with God. And so that's where I'm going to talk from. Let me go to another verse. I'll put it up on the screen. Romans 14, verse 8. You often hear this at funerals. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. It's not just talking about believers. Anyone. Whether you live or whether you die, you belong to the Lord. God made you. He's the creator of all. He's the sustainer of all. You are His. Whether you believe in Him or not, we belong to Him. It doesn't talk about rights. It talks about relationships. So I believe the Bible has a very firm teaching on this, that life and death is in the hands of God. And we need to be very careful when we take a human rights opinion of things over that. Let's be very careful. We talk about all sorts of human rights, can't we? What I want us to come back to as Christians is always to come back to the relationship we have with God. Let me give you a few examples where the option you might be thinking as a Christian, well, you know, right to life, abortion's wrong. Well, not all Christians think that way, just to let you know, in case you've not talked to people about that. The problem is we don't have conversations about this. We don't have discussions that are honourable and respectful about it. And so we can't get to verses like this, like Romans, how we all belong to God, and go from there. This is really a springboard for us to start talking about it. But let me give you three illustrations. Let's say there's a girl, 15 years old, has got pregnant. And she thinks her life is over. Another woman is raped and becomes pregnant through that. Another woman is carrying a child who has HIV or some other very debilitating illness that they know will be horrible for their child when they're born. Now, what choice will those mothers make, if it's a choice? Well, and we could stand here and say, as I suspect many of us might, that abortion is wrong no matter what. Or you might say, well, in certain circumstances it's okay. Let me encourage you to think about this. Number one, we need to think about what the Bible says about our relationship with God, and we need to talk about that with people. Number two, we must be careful not to be judgmental when people make decisions. It's very easy to say to a mum of 15, well, your life's not over, we'll help you, and just, you know, have the baby, it's wrong to abort. And then people make decisions about things like abortion under extreme pressure and under really difficult circumstances. And it's very easy to say that this is what you would do, but you cannot put yourself in the shoes of another person. And so while you may disagree with someone, for good reason, you may disagree with someone's choice, you must respect that they're making a decision in that situation. And it's a very hard situation to make that decision in. To judge them for doing something that you don't agree with, without being in their shoes, that's a very big call to make. And I think we need to be very careful as Christians that, first of all, we're actually loving people. Second, we're talking about issues so they can find help. If someone came to you, a 15-year-old mother, a woman who'd been raped and become pregnant, or a woman carrying an HIV child, they came to you to talk to you, would they come to you to talk to you about abortion? Would they come to a church to talk about that issue, do you think? Hands up if you think a 15-year-old mum considering abortion, hands up if you think they'd go to a church for advice. Anyone? I don't think they would. So I think churches are often seen as judgmental places. Places who aren't willing to listen and talk to people about these issues. I encourage you to just consider what the Bible says about our relationships, but also to be open to conversations with people so we can have a dialogue with them about what the Bible says, rather than always being seen as those who are judgmental. Right, let's move on. Fertility. Let's talk about a couple of issues. Assisted reproduction is something utilised by many, many people in our society these days. Is it okay to use science to assist in reproduction? Again, Romans is very helpful. 12 verse 2. Paul says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is." Our aim as Christians is to seek God's will. How do we know His will? We're transformed by Him. We allow the Spirit to work. Often we make decisions without even considering prayer, to ask God to help us to understand, to help us, to give us wisdom from His Word. Number one, if we're considering these sorts of issues, we need to be transformed by God to be able to answer and to seek His will. Many people use assisted reproduction to help them conceive, and there are many approaches to fertility treatments these days. Many have different ethical outcomes. And all I want to simply say is this: if you're looking at assisted reproduction, or if you're helping someone look at this, look at it. Talk about it. Don't just think, well, this is going to work for me, it's the easiest way, it's cheaper, and I will just go with that. There are a lot of decisions and a lot of things to consider. And you know, if you were going in for kidney dialysis, or a heart transplant, or fixing a broken arm, as a Christian, we should seek the will of God. No matter how small or how large you talk about immunisations. All those sorts of things, when it comes to medicine, it seems like things like fertility treatments are singled out as the only ones that have an ethical implication. But nearly every medical procedure has an ethical implication. Do we think about it? Do we seek God's will, God's mind, before we engage ourselves in these things? It's no different for a fertility treatment if you were going to get dialysis. It's a medical procedure or a medical assistance to help with something that your body's not working properly with. That's all it is. And so when it comes to these issues, again, I think Christians have been heavy-handed in coming down and saying, that's unethical, destruction of embryos, but all issues to consider. But the way we speak about it and the way we open discussion, really, we're closing up walls for people so they can't talk freely about it. So people often feel very inhibited to talk about assisted reproduction. Yet you wouldn't consider, you may easily consider sharing with everyone at church that you're undergoing treatment for cancer as a medical procedure or dialysis or something else or a broken arm. Yet things like fertility treatments are often difficult for people to talk about because of the judgments associated. So first of all, we need to seek God's will. Second, we need to be very careful that we can open discussions with people to talk about these ethical issues. I'm going to say, having the desire to have children is very much a God-given desire. It's part... many times part of us. In some it's deeper than others. Some people don't desire children at all, others desire them deeply. And no matter what you go through, if you have that desire to have children, it won't go away. No matter what treatments you have, to say to someone, look, just adopt the child, it's just not the same. And again, it's just understanding what situation people are in life. And not being able to walk in their shoes means we need a lot of understanding, ears that are always just open to hear and to listen. Just let me encourage you again, many, many people are going through fertility issues in our society. Many, many more than ever before, because there are so many more options now, many more people are investigating those things. It's something we do need to talk about in a loving way. What about infertility? For some, fertility treatments will never work. We don't always know God's plan for us. The desire to have children can be there and never go away. Let me encourage you, if you know someone or if you yourself are suffering through issues of infertility, let me encourage you to express your feelings to God, first of all. Being angry, questioning His will for your life, getting frustrated with what He's doing and why that's the case. They're all good human responses that God's given us, emotions that God's given us, and it's good to express them to God. It's right to express them to God the same way Job does. But our aim is always to find contentment, always to seek to find contentment in accepting God's will, whatever that may be. Psalm 55:22 is a great psalm, one of the many that remind us, cast your cares on the Lord and He'll sustain you. He'll never let the righteous fall. God will sustain us through these times. He doesn't promise to give us children. He doesn't promise to make us healthy all the time. He doesn't promise that we'll escape suffering. But He does promise that He'll uphold us. He does promise that He'll not let us fall. And they're great promises to hold on to. For people suffering and working through the issues of infertility again, wouldn't it be nice to know they can come to you as a Christian to talk about those things? Maybe someone's talked to you in the past about it. It's a very difficult issue for people to talk about. It's an ethical issue sometimes for people of what their options are for future parenthood. But it is one that we must learn to talk about more openly and lovingly. Let me conclude, because we could go on forever otherwise. I've talked about a lot of issues, a lot of questions I hope have been unanswered for you, because our aim is really to encourage us to seek God's will. In whatever life throws at us, whatever situation we're in, is to seek God's will. And day after day, if you're going through issues, questioning abortion or questioning fertility issues, every day it means being on our knees in prayer to God, seeking His will for us, to ensure that we're on the path that He wants us to be on, to continue to trust Him that He will guide us. As individuals, whatever family situation you're in, whether you're single or married, whether you have children or not, God cares for you greatly in the situation you're in. No matter what situation you're in, no matter how you got to be in that situation, God cares about you in your family situation. And let me encourage you one more time with this, that as a church, we are a family. And when there are families that are struggling, or people who are single who desire to be a part of that family, or people who are childless and desire to have children, the church fulfills that part of their life in a very real way. We are the family of God. We are the full, complete family of God. This is the fullest expression of what God means by family. So if there's anything you feel that you may be missing in your family life, in your life at all, let me encourage you to not only seek it here in God's family, but to help other people find that here in God's family. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for children. Help us to care for the children we know in our church especially, in a way that honours them as people made in your image. Help us to help them know Jesus more each day. Father, we pray for parents that you would help direct them in their responsibilities in raising their children to know you. And we pray for those who struggle through issues such as abortion and fertility. We pray that you would offer them comfort and hope. We pray for healing, for understanding within our community. May you bless us, Lord, most of all, as we seek your will in all things, in the name of Jesus. Amen.